Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Here are some questions for you. Who gets to go to college? Who can afford it? And what are you getting for your money? Is it smart to go into massive debt to get a degree? What is the future of education in America? And what does that future mean for the workplace, the government, our children and colleagues, and for ourselves? These questions around education and access come as college prices have exploded and whole generations are sinking into college debt. At the same time, tech entrepreneurs and professors from some of the world's most elite universities have been racing to revolutionize higher education with massive college courses taught for free online. In the book The End of College, Creating the Future of Learning and the University of Everywhere, education researcher and writer Kevin Carey shows how innovations in digital learning can help higher education, and we welcome Kevin Carey to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
It's great to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. Let us first talk about what we know about this, the possibilities in the in this revolutionization of higher education and using online as a way of educating people. What do we know of what is possible right now?
Well, in the book, I describe how I took an entire genetics class from MIT online for free. This is the same class, exactly the same class that MIT teaches to its own freshmen. And in fact, at the same time that 100 students in Cambridge, Massachusetts were taking the class, there were tens of thousands of people around the world along with me who were taking the same class, same lectures, same problem sets, homework, and final exams on the internet, and none of us had to pay a dime. So that's what we can do today.
Did you get credit?
So no, I don't get official college credit, and that's very interesting. You can only get college credit right now if you are enrolled in the college. And so this is sort of the compromise that these colleges are making, where they're, you can learn for free, credit still costs you.
Okay. So you take this course, and this shows you of what is possible. But ultimately, it is the credit that gets you the degree that gets you into the door to where you're trying to ultimately get to, right?
I think that's right, but I also think that that's going to change in the future because it doesn't really make a lot of sense. People learn in all kinds of environments throughout their lives. They can increasingly learn college learning online. Why then are the only credits that count what you happen to have learned from a college that charged you increasing amounts of money to get it? It doesn't really make sense, and one of the things I talk about in the book is how even as education is opening up and becoming available online, we're also in the process of creating an infrastructure of more open credentials that are more flexible, that can encompass all different kinds of knowledge, and I think eventually will be able to lead people into jobs.
When it comes to this end of college, so how do you see that happening?
Well, I think it's, here's what I think the future looks like. I think I have a daughter. She's 4 years old. I wrote the book in part to kind of think about what college would be like when she turns 18. Right now, you can only really go to one kind of institution, a college as we know it and have known it for a long time. In the future, I think there will be three options. Some people will go to traditional institutions, which are going to have to adapt and change in some pretty important ways if they're going to remain economically viable, because people can't keep paying more and more money for college forever. For some people, actually, online education will make a great deal of sense. It's important to remember that most college students are not 18-year-olds living in a dorm. An awful lot of people have families, have jobs, want to be able to continue their working lives even as they go to school. And then a lot of people are going to be someplace that's a combination of both. We're going to see, I believe, an explosion of new learning organizations created from the ground up that combine the best of an in-person educational experience, which people will still want and need, with all of the new things that information technology makes possible.
So what does that mean for the current, I guess, do you see it as one or the other or a little bit of both, in the sense of we have to keep some semblance of our current educational system And then there will be other affordable options that will be using this technology that is coming down the line.
It's definitely some of both. Our colleges and universities are tremendously important institutions. We rely on them for research. We rely on them to really transmit the culture from one generation to another. They're a great source of the economy in a lot of localities. They've kind of lost their way in a lot of respects. They've become too expensive. They've become too obsessed with status. They're not really focused enough on using information technology to do their jobs better and more effectively. And they're losing support from the public. State funding to higher education has really declined over time, and which is one of the reasons that tuition has been going up. So we need them, but we also really need new institutions that are built from the ground up that combine the best of what you can only get from being in a place, living with other students and with teachers and mentors, with all of the things that you can do with technology that you could never do before.
Because there's obviously the social part of college that is very important, right? I mean, we can't dismiss that.
Absolutely not. The social part of college is very important. I think people are always going to want to leave home when they turn 18, and parents are probably always going to want to kick their kids out of the house. People learn best among other learners and other people, and so definitely people will still go to places where they learn. But here's the thing. Those places don't need to cost $60,000 a year. A lot of the infrastructure that's been built up over time in colleges and universities is not essential to the educational mission. I mean, if you want to see the nicest gymnasiums in the world, go to a college campus someday.
Right. But that is what, it's partially what gets people through the door, and it'll be the nicest gymnasium for a few years until it's not, and somebody else has a new one. I mean, you always are going to have new things, right?
I don't think people need all those things. I think consumers have sort of been taught that college has to be super expensive, and colleges kind of instruct people on what they ought to look for. I mean, when I went to college, you didn't have all these fantastic gymnasiums. There was still a gym. We still played basketball and went swimming. I mean, none of it is necessary. So I think a lot of colleges and a lot of parents and students have been sort of swept up in these signals about what an elite education looks like and this idea that it has to be enormously expensive. And so people just take out the loans and pay the money because they think that that's the only thing they can do. But really, it isn't. And I think that it's possible, again, if we are smart about the use of technology, to be really good at education without being so tremendously costly.
You talk about in the book that this whole idea of admissions would basically vanish and go away.
I think that's right. You know, our colleges were built in a time of scarcity. The American college and university was designed in the late 19th century, and back then the only way you could provide a really good education was to build a place where someone could come and be with other students and professors and a library full of all the books that you needed to see. We don't live in an age of that kind of scarcity. We are really moving into an age of abundance when it comes to educational resources. We can connect to other people around the world. We can connect to all the books you'll ever need right onto your mobile device and not having to go to a big square building full of shelves. But that age of scarcity made us think that colleges have to be exclusive. It's an odd thing that we essentially rate the quality of colleges by how many people they don't educate, how many people they sort of choose to turn away. So I think we need a real change in mindset where excellence and exclusivity don't go hand in hand.
How do we know quality, though? How do we know how this particular program is better than that particular program?
Here's the thing. Nobody knows right now. There's very little information out there for consumers to find out what quality really is. We assume the most expensive colleges are the best. We assume the most exclusive colleges are the best, but that's really become kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. A lot of colleges just charge a lot of money because they think that that sends a signal of price into the market. And the kind of the dirty little secret of American higher education is that in addition to being really expensive, on average, students don't learn that much. The latest research, and I cite it in the book, suggests that American college graduates know less than college graduates in other countries. There's been some really interesting research that suggests that something like a third to a half of all students who go through an entire undergraduate four-year program really don't know a whole lot more at the end than the beginning. And that needs to change, too.
When it comes to what the student is actually getting, as far as how they are assessed, how they are tested, do we have a really good, firm grasp now on how that is working, on how online education is working, and how a future online program would work?
I think the thing to keep in mind is that the most important thing from an educational standpoint really isn't whether it's online or not online. You can create a great online class and a terrible online class. You can also create a great in-person class and a terrible in-person class. So we need a whole lot more transparency about what kind of educational experiences, technology-enabled or otherwise, are really working for students, and we don't have that now. And then we need to kind of have a serious conversation and reckoning about what are we charging people, how much does it cost, and how can we provide a better education in a way that's actually affordable for the middle class.
What is affordable?
Well, you know, I would say that for quite some time we had a social contract here in the United States where parents could send their kids to college and pay out of pocket for a good public university. A private university is always going to be more expensive, but you could either pay out of pocket to go to a public university or people could, quote, work their way through college. I think the phrase work their way through college doesn't even really mean anything anymore. And the debt numbers prove that out. When I graduated from college in the 1990s, most students left their bachelor's degree program with no debt. Today, 70% of students with bachelor's degrees borrow, and on average they're leaving with $30,000 a year in debt, and for some it's much, much more than that. So I think we need to renew that social contract at the same time that we, which it does mean more public support for higher education, at the same time that we really raise our expectations for colleges to both be better and more cost-effective at teaching.
When you see this, when you talk about the end of college and creating the future of learning and this idea of the university of everywhere, what do you believe a realistic timeline to be?
I think the university of everywhere will be where my daughter goes to college. So that's 15 years from now, and a lot can change. Think about what the world was like 15 years ago, technologically speaking, and how much it's changed since then, and how our access, how much better the technology has gotten, how many different kind of parts of our lives, both important and subtle, have been altered and integrated into technology. I think that that process of change is only going to accelerate. So when I say the university of everywhere, what I mean is people around the world, American and otherwise, are going to have access to educational resources that have never been available before. And that means, quite frankly, that American students who have sort of long enjoyed access to one of the world's great higher education systems are going to be competing with people who now all of a sudden have that same access for the very first time.
Who do you believe is going to take this bull by the horns?
Well, you know, I hope that it's the colleges and universities that we have now. I mean, these are great institutions. They're important institutions. They are filled with educators. They are filled with tradition and knowledge. They can act on these possibilities. And I think the fact that, some of the best institutions, the most famous, like Harvard and MIT, are taking their resources and putting them out there for anyone in the world to access is a great step forward. I think it's an important part of their civic obligation. We need to build on that. We need every institution to be thinking about not just how do I serve the students who come here and how do I recruit more students who will pay me more money and make me look better, but how do I reach as many people as possible? That is their mission, that is their obligation, and that's what they're going to have to do if they really want to remain viable in the future.
The name of the book is The End of College, Creating the Future of Learning in the University of Everywhere. It is published by Riverhead Books. Kevin Carey, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate your thoughts and insight.
Thanks so much for having me.
A pleasure. Again, the title of the book, The End of College, Creating the Future of Learning in the University of Everywhere, by Kevin Carey. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.